to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program. The guest this week, a comedian as pithy as he is rarefied, it's Ian Lane! And welcome to the show. It is episode 10 and it is late again. Poetry! I'm sorry that it is late. Sorry, I'm just trying to get over that really awful improvisation. I feel embarrassed I did that. I'm sorry it's late again. I was at work yesterday, guys. Okay, so maybe people have bigger problems than people waiting for podcasts for an extra day. Like people who have to go to work on that day, for example. But to make it up to you, I have got an extra special bumper edition with a terrific comedian and a very interesting man, I think, named Ian Lane. Now, it is 15 minutes longer than usual, and people already probably think it's fairly pretentious and self-involved to have an hour-long show, but just bear in mind that we recorded about 2.5 hours, which is about double what we usually record, and listening back to it in the edit, there's such a lot of interesting stuff and funny little stories and bits that I enjoyed in this episode that it didn't make sense to cut one of them just to keep it to time, okay? All right, I've been ill-disciplined, okay? But Ian is a very honest guy, and I find that very endearing. He's quite unguarded, and I always like that in a person, and not just because it makes it a lot easier to expose them to everyone. The structure in this episode is slightly looser than usual. We did do the sort of loves and hates, but again, listening back to it in the edit, it didn't quite make sense to keep hold of that structure, so there are sections where it's just stories and little bits of reverie. please do enjoy the episode. I'm not going to go on too long because it is long enough as it is. So please do enjoy episode 10 of the show, in which Ian Lane comes round to discuss doctors, pictograms, and greeting cards. Enjoy. Oh, really fuck that intro up. Ian Lane is really too aloof in delivery and too rarefied in material to connect with an audience. Pithy poems, setting an uncompleted Sudoku grid to music, or reducing a train announcement to a series of noises are certainly clever, but not always that funny. With a curtsy, he pretty much begs for applause for his invention, and the audience dutifully respond, but there are very few spontaneous laughs from the heart here. How do you respond to that, Ian Lane?
I learned two new words.
Mm-hmm. Which were?
Rarified, mm-hmm, and pithy.
Okay.
And
so some good came of it.
They sound worse than they are, is the thing. When I first saw the phrase rarefied, as in his material was too rarefied, I thought they meant he didn't have enough of it.
Right.
And actually, what it means is I do, it's just not of interest to anyone.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and pithy means short, but to me it looked like too much like the word pity.
Right.
So I thought like
pitiful.
Pitiful poems.
Yeah. Doesn't have enough material, and his entire act is pitiful.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually,
so at least it wasn't that.
If he'd written that, I would have been like fair play. The fact that he actually tried to give me constructive criticism out of it is probably worse.
Right, because it makes it difficult to just say, "Well, fuck you, buddy."
Pretty much. Yeah. Mm. I didn't really disagree with the review, if I was being honest with you. I thought, fair enough.
Fine. Well, I've written down some things to help. I've written down some topics that you might want to approach in future gigs to help you stop being so pitifully rarefied.
Should I write these down, do you reckon?
Yes, why not?
Right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, the experience of dining at Nando's.
Oh.
Lots of people can relate to that.
Do you know what?
In fact, I think you'll probably get a laugh just for saying Nando's.
Well, do you know what? I do this routine, actually, about fox. Like, I saw a fox once with a bag of fried chicken in his mouth at a train station. Right. And then I have a punchline about there being another fox further down the platform looking for a usable travel card.
Now, you see, you've gone to a sort of surreal level, you've involved foxes, but already you're losing people.
But here's the thing, right?
Foxes don't behave like humans. It's a stretch.
They're getting there. But a guy came up to me after a gig I did, and he just said, six words, mate. Fox carrying a Nando's loyalty card.
Okay. And what were you supposed to do with that
information? Exactly, yeah, I have no idea.
Like, but that would be a hilarious punchline.
It would suggest that there is a cry out for Nando's-based material.
Yes, well, there certainly is. And it just proves my point. You could talk about your lack of alpha male characteristics.
Oh, I've got plenty of those.
That you're not a lad. You don't fit in with lad culture and the kind of hilarious circumstances you find yourself in.
What kind of alpha male characteristics are you
Well, you know how there's the people, lads, and they go out drinking and they go out, you know, play football and they chat up the ladies, and you're in comparison quite awkward with women perhaps, and maybe you don't really like football, and so just times where your kind of beta male status gets you in a sort of tricky scenario. I mean, I'm not going to write the act for you. These are just topics that you might want to approach.
Oh, no, fair enough. But, you know, I need to... Yeah, okay.
You could describe the effects of alcohol or marijuana.
What are they?
Well, people say silly things, don't they? Or say things, kind of cod philosophical things.
The only effects I find from alcohol, or any drug for that matter, is that I generally just tend to spend more time whinging about the effects that they have, which tends to be whinging about them. So it just tends to be a kind of
endless
perpetuating cycle. I mean, would poppers be a good avenue to kind of talk about? Because I can talk about poppers.
No.
Oh.
Not unless you're gay.
Really?
No, you can talk about poppers if you're gay in a kind of offhand way, but I don't think you should dive into the realm of heterosexual popper use.
Why are they specifically a gay drug?
I think the common knowledge is that they act as an anal relaxant.
Is that what they're for? I had some poppers.
I'm not sure that's what they're for. But
I had some poppers in Wetherspoons once.
Why? Right,
around a group, mostly girls.
Why did that happen?
And just because they were doing it. That's just what was happening.
And you're easily led.
Yeah, and I just kind of, I had a few sniffs. And you're supposed to kind of feel a bit, you know, looser, lighter, whatever, and that. And all I ended up doing was just whinging that my ears were stinging.
And that your anus was super relaxed.
Pretty much. But I wasn't complaining about that.
No, that was convenient.
Near enough to the toilets for it not to be an issue.
You could talk about areas of London that are a bit stabby, or behaviours by men that are a bit rapey.
Aren't all areas of London stabby?
Exactly, you've got lots and lots to choose from.
What if you gig outside of London?
Do you have any non-British parents or grandparents?
No.
Well, do you have any racist ones?
Not grandparents, no.
Well, pretend you have a racist grandparent.
Okay.
And then tell a racist joke, why not?
All right.
It's very popular.
All right, cool.
Primark, always a hit.
I bought some shirts from there.
Exactly. Draw on that. Write about what you know.
Yeah.
Wanking.
Primark. I've done wanking.
So that's plenty for you to go away with.
And what do you think will happen as a result of implementing
next time
changes?
you get reviewed by Chortle, it will be Ian Lane with his barnstorming material. I want to know about the real you. The one underneath all this.
Again?
All this rarefied material and this obscure. I feel like you employ these sort of comedic conceits, like, you know, doing a Sudoku poem and all these kind of things, so that people don't really get to know what the real you is like.
You're probably right.
What are you hiding from?
I don't know. I think I'm worried that the real me is so fundamentally dull that it really is not worth sharing with people in an entertainment-based medium.
Okay.
Mm.
How long have you felt this way about yourself?
Oh, about 5 years.
What happened 5 years ago?
It wasn't specifically on the dot. I said about.
Okay.
We're not going to...
There's not a key event.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, oh...
The origin story.
Yeah, I started working in Next and I thought about my life. You know. Well, I mean, that did happen, but that wasn't the crux.
When did you work in Next?
When did I work in... it was 2009. I worked there for 4 days.
4 days?
4 days.
What were you doing?
Stockroom attendant.
Okay, and what happened after 4 days?
I went home and topped myself.
Oh.
Well, I mean, obviously I was unsuccessful.
And you got better afterwards.
Yes, I did, yeah. But it was that bad. It was really depressing. Like, because apparently I can't put numbered cubes on coat hangers fast enough.
Right.
For the liking of a 19-year-old fake tan girl who can't spell her name correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, what was her name?
Danny.
And how did you spell it?
D-A-N-N-A-E.
Really?
Yeah.
Danny.
Danny, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was she your line manager?
No, she started work one day before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And
she had a problem with your efficiency.
She had a problem with my efficiency, yeah. I'm physically not particularly good at putting things on things.
Right.
Okay. You'll never see me putting, like, kind of...
Come to think of it, I've never seen you put a thing on it.
You've never seen... Yeah, like a cocktail stick, like a sausage or a pineapple and that. You've never seen me do that.
I've been wondering when I'm going to see you do that.
Yeah. The invite is in the post. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have a housewarming party just as soon as I've got a house to warm.
Okay.
But so that was it. And things about that environment just really got me down. Like, They have a filing system in the stock room at Next, right? Like you would anywhere, right? For different types of clothes. But there's absolutely no logic to how it's laid out at all. Like, so the category, it's all three-letter kind of abbreviations. And so you'd have sort of like ADF. And then the next one along would be like KGB.
Right.
You know, and then the next one would be like AFX.
Okay.
And there was no real distinction of what kind of clothes were supposed to go in each of those things. Like, none of...
I think you should have asked for some training. Sounds like you weren't
we
shoved in a stockroom and said, make sense of that.
Yeah, our training...
Do it quickly.
Our training was watching videos.
Okay.
Like, you know, videos of hilarious stunt falls, you know, people falling over, like...
Oh, health and safety videos.
Yeah, health and safety videos. You know, falling off ladders and...
I don't think they were supposed to be funny. I think they were supposed to scare you into taking health and safety.
They were well choreographed,
right?
Like, you know, they were proper good falls.
Okay.
Like, and I kind of respect people who can do good falls like that. I once lived with an epileptic, right? And it's not funny. And he had proper, like, so it would trigger at any moment. Like, you know, he actually had to have a protective mat in the shower, just in case he had a kind of epileptic fit while he was in the shower, to kind of protect him
right
from falling, you know, hurting himself. Mm. And I remember once we were running up a hill. It was me, him, and a girl that he fancied, and they started kind of racing each other up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just watched because it's a fucking hill, you know, not his walk's going bad enough as it is.
Right,
and he suddenly. He just went, he got up to a kind of little flat bit and he just went, he fell down, rolled all the way down the hill to the bottom of it. But it's one of the best things I've ever seen. Like, it was a proper, like, a stuntman roll.
Did he survive?
Down it, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he did. Well, I wouldn't be impressed if he died. Like, you know, and that was the thing. It was like, I looked at that and I thought, I wish I could do that. You know?
Do you think,
like,
it's...
He was absolutely fine afterwards. He was not injured at all.
So you were actually jealous of his epilepsy?
Yeah, I'm jealous of epileptics. Like,
because of the ability it imbues them to...
To physically... I'm a terrible faller. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm just really awkward.
How much have you practised?
Fair amount. I've done, you know, I used to do drama.
Do you think this was a good use of your time?
Yeah. No. I don't know. One of the two. I don't know. But, I mean, well, let's put it this way. I did a master's degree in theatre directing.
Right.
At Royal Holloway,
mm-hmm.
which at the time was one of the kind of quite high in the league tables unis for drama.
Right.
And then 2 months later, I was working in Next.
Let's move on to hate, Ian. What's the next choice?
Hate. I hate doctors.
Why?
Well, it's. I feel like that's not a particularly original one in many ways. I feel like there are a lot of people who've got a kind of fear.
Oh, it's a fear.
Loathing. Maybe it's a little bit of fear. I don't know if it's a fear. It's all, it's a mistrust,
right,
I've got with doctors.
Why is that?
And I don't necessarily think it's their fault.
Okay.
But I think the problem I have with them is they're not magic.
Right.
They don't seem to be able to diagnose me in the way that I kind of...
Maybe you've got a slew of previously undiscovered diseases. Ever think of that?
Yeah, I do. I think about that all the time. And I never know exactly what to do about them. Like, because I feel like every time I've been to see a doctor about anything, it's been a kind of...
medical miracle.
Waste of time.
Right.
Is what I was going to say. But close enough.
Mm-hmm. Should we be worried?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, the, I think what started it all off was... It was actually a nurse who started this off. So nothing necessarily against nurses here.
Well, we can include doctors and nurses. Why not? Let's expand.
It was an ear syringing.
Okay.
That I had. Right, okay. Now, at one point, I used to have wax in my ears.
Okay.
These days, I still do, but it's kind of
a manageable amount.
Yes,
right.
I know. But back in the day, I remember the first time I ever got it, kind of properly blocked up. I was so scared. I sort of went to my mum and said, "Like, Mum, I can't hear properly out of my ear. I think I might be going deaf or something like that." It was
right,
2 a.m.
Okay.
So she was more than happy for me to trouble her with such triviality.
Mm.
And it turned out, what I needed to do was like have me ears fringed.
Yeah, waxy
so,
build up.
Mm. Yeah, so I had that done, and it was. I actually quite enjoyed it. It was quite nice.
Okay.
It's quite a nice feeling.
Yeah.
Well,
it's nice when you've got water in your ears to let the water out. It's quite a nice.
Yeah, and then the slight feeling afterwards when you can actually hear again, and you actually hear in crystal clarity.
Mm.
Like you hear a bit too much, but like.
Mm.
It's
you just got to wait for a nice bit of wax to build up back again.
Yes, exactly.
Block out some of the criticism.
It's such a difficult middle ground.
Yes, exactly.
But, so that's fine. That was fine. But then it happened again about a year later or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up having to go and have it syringed again. Now, the nurse who I had it syringed by on that occasion, she did it. She poured the stuff in my ear and that, and it didn't alleviate the problem.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I guess it's not been weakened enough, because you have to do kind of a few weeks of preemptive, like putting oil in your ear and stuff like that to kind of, before they...
All kinds of fun. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. You lube it up, basically, for them to kind of stick the shaft in.
Mm.
But, yeah. I don't know quite how Hannibal Lecter is listening in on this conversation, but...
It's how I express arousal.
Who doesn't? So the wax didn't leave the ear on that occasion, and I said to the nurse, it still feels a bit clogged up.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, don't worry about that, it'll trickle out over the course of the day. It doesn't trickle out over the course of the day.
Okay.
Like, if you don't get it in that whack, it stays in there, basically. But I felt I'd been bullshitted.
Okay.
Because I knew how a successful ear syringing is supposed to go.
Right.
And so after that, I kind of felt...
You've never forgotten
trusted.
It.
Yeah, exactly. I trusted medical services less on each subsequent occasion.
Okay.
After that.
Does that seem fair to you?
No.
One bad experience? And
not necessarily. Well, I've had others. I had a doctor who... Well, I changed doctors after this particular one. Because she was... This was some years later, but she, it was like being in counselling, like with a really bad counsellor. Like, you know the ones who just sort of sit there and stare at you?
Mm.
Like...
I'm very well adjusted, I've never been to counselling.
Okay.
No idea what you mean.
Yeah, fair enough. You just medicate the fuck out of it.
That's what I do.
She just stared at me, like, you know, and I guess I can sort of accept that of a counsellor, because it is just a case of, like, just telling your problems to...
Mm-hmm.
someone you know, not necessarily expecting solutions, although I do.
Mm.
But see, I told you I'd look like a prick.
Mm.
Terrific. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so she, I remember talking to her, like, there was some worries that I might be dyspraxic or something like that. Like, you know, I was talking about how I struggle to put things on things earlier. I said, it'd be possible to get a dyspraxia test. And after a pause of about 14 seconds, the woman just said, we only really do those for children.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking, that cannot be true.
No, it can't be true.
Because no. I knew, like, when I was at uni, there were students who get dyspraxia tests there.
Mm.
And I know somebody got a free laptop as a result of being diagnosed.
That's why you were there.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, it was.
Why not? Why not?
Blag a free laptop.
You weren't having any problems with reading or thinking or anything like that. It was just. Just I heard you can get some free laptops.
Just so. Hated my old Toshiba. That was what it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she was not interested in it, not interested in anything that I kind of...
Well, once you're an adult, the damage is done. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah,
it's too late.
We looked her up afterwards because, like, you know, all doctors kind of have specialisms.
Mm.
And her specialism was acupuncture.
I see.
So you got the sense that anything short of, like, sticking needles in people wasn't going to be of any interest to her. I know what you mean. Maybe it is kind of irrational, these things, these problems I have.
Certainly,
but, I don't know. I've had a lot of kind of like spells of being unhappy.
Okay.
Like, you know, maybe depression and that. Mm. Like, I mean, I mentioned earlier that next caused me to try and top myself. And
yeah.
That actually is true.
Is it? How did you do it?
It was shit. It was like, the main reason I went home and did it, I was quite upset.
Yeah.
With the job in itself.
And how old were you when this happened?
23, 24, something like that, I think.
That is a good suicide year, because
27, I think, is the best.
27 if you have achieved kind of rock star, rock god status.
That's the thing.
And I mean, we've missed that window.
Yeah, I'm 28 now, and I'm disappointed now that my comedy is not going to be like seen as seminal in any way, what form whatsoever. So
no.
All I can do is kind of just like plod on.
Mm. Amy Winehouse has ruined it for the rest of us.
Yes.
But yeah. No, I think 23 is quite probably, it wouldn't be surprising if it's quite common, because it's a couple of years after university generally, isn't it? So
yeah,
you just think, real life has happened and it's not what I expected, so yeah, let's end it.
Exactly, there's that kind of post sort of university bleakness.
Yeah, there's no reason for me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't got the structure.
No,
that's why a lot of people do masters and doctorates and endless and become lecturers, because they're just afraid of the world beyond university.
I wanted to do a doctorate actually, I'd spent like a couple of years writing a proposal for it was Queen Mary University in London I was going to apply to, and then I discovered stand up and it seemed a lot less appealing.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
stand up's fault.
Yeah, so academia's loss is comedy's loss.
So how did you try and kill yourself?
I went home from Next, and I said to my mum, I've just walked out of my job. And she was so unhappy about this, because I'd already been like on benefits for 2 months while I was living with her. She was like, you need to get a job. Like, she had the attitude of, like, you know, it doesn't matter what your job is, you need to have one.
Right, yeah.
You know, regardless of how miserable and painful it is. And so we had this kind of argument, and I just felt, you don't understand me, and blah, blah, blah. And I just ended up downing, I think, a whole packet of Anadin.
You went with the Anadin.
I know, which I've subsequently learned is a fucking shit way to try and top yourself. Like, it was Anadin Extra as well.
You've got a master's in drama. I thought something with a bit more theatricality about it. Did you write a note?
It was the nearest thing to hand. But no, I didn't write a note.
Not even a note?
Well, we were in the same house at the same time when I started doing it, so... Mm-hmm. Felt kind of... It wasn't well thought out.
It was a spur of the moment thing.
Spur of the moment, yeah. And it was like... It wasn't even... It was like Anadin Extra as well, so it had caffeine in it. Like, which
just kept you awake.
Just running around. Like, yeah. But anyway, we ended up going to the hospital, right, where I had a kind of charcoal drink to sort of suppress it. It's awful. Like, it just makes your lips all black, so you kind of look like you just filleted Bertie Bassett. And this counsellor who I spoke to for a while after, you know, giving the all clear. And the one thing that really stuck out when she was asking me about my circumstances and that, she said to me that I was too handsome to commit suicide.
Oh! I agree, actually. I'll say that.
I don't think that's right, personally. And in a sense, I don't think looks should be a basis upon which to decide whether you should stay alive, because that implies that ugly people should top themselves.
Well, they certainly they should.
No.
Well, the world isn't created for them, is it?
I don't agree.
There's no place for them, they don't fit in.
All right.
In my perfect utopia, they'll be done away with immediately.
Fair enough.
Which, unfortunately, would also mean my demise, but, you know, ideological purity is what I'm striving for.
I can see why it would be a perfect utopia, the way you say it like that. Yeah. Mm. But
be like Stockholm.
But anyway, so that was that. I mean, that's another reason why I don't really trust.
I think what she was basically saying is, you're a handsome guy, go and get yourself some pussy. That'll cheer you up.
Maybe, but it's not that easy.
Do you ever think of that?
Not then.
Mm.
Well, no, I did think about it then, but like I didn't have the tools to kind of do so.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Bedhampton, right, which is kind of like a suburb of Portsmouth. So it's actually on the outskirts.
Mm.
It's a train station with two trains an hour.
Right.
Like, both within 4 minutes of each other. So if you miss the second one, that's 56 minutes.
Right.
You have to wait for the next train.
Mm.
And it was kind of like so depressing and so kind of like cut off from anywhere else, even though it wasn't that far from Portsmouth, that I ended up going to nightclubs by myself.
Right. How did that
work? It's not, because if you go to a nightclub by yourself, people just think you're a psycho.
Were you going to the nightclub to enjoy some dancing, or was that to meet members of the opposite sex?
It was the first one as a means to lead on to the second one.
You thought, once they see my hand clap move, they'll be clamouring.
Once they see I'm enjoying myself in a dancing format, maybe they'll feel non-threatened by me because I'm not leering at them all the time, and they'll come over and dance with me.
You know, and there's probably something like, that guy does not give a shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Maybe, yeah. Well, I know. I think it almost happened on one occasion. But yeah, so that was the thing. Like, that was, how did we get onto that? That was, that's going to be my catchphrase at the end of this podcast. Just me how did we get onto that? I think it was about circumstances, about living in Bedhampton and that.
And suicide.
Yeah, because that's where I was when I tried to off myself.
Mm.
And I remember before that happened, before that happened, I'd spoken to a counsellor, a different one to that one who said I was too handsome.
Mm.
And she said that they couldn't really put me on medication or anything like that because my problems were circumstantial.
Okay.
So all I needed to do was change my circumstances.
Right.
Which is easier said than done.
Move to London and become a stand-up.
Yeah.
For example.
Well, I've been a bit happier since.
Really?
Not massively.
Okay. Enough.
Yeah.
To keep from suicide.
Yeah, there was that one time.
What, since?
Yeah. But that was different. That was because I thought Bill Bailey had stolen one of my jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You have to tell this story now.
Yeah. No, this happened. I kind of... I came up with a routine. You know, I do pithy poems. In my
I've heard, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I've also heard they're too rarefied.
They are quite rarefied. Here is a pithy rarefied one that actually used to do quite well. I used to talk about the compass, north, east, south, west.
Yeah.
Which is all you're familiar with.
Yeah, I've seen you do the routine, yeah.
Did you see me do it? Oh, yeah, you did. Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah, you saw me. Yeah, okay, yeah. So I did that.
Mm.
But for anyone who was listening, and, you know, all two of you, who, me and you, won't it?
I get upwards of 100 a week. This is a phenomenon, this show.
Is it?
Really is taking off.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Cool.
Can't deal with it.
Oh, I look forward to meeting them all. That's the big podcast celebratory drinks.
Yeah.
But no, that routine, right, okay, where I do, basically what it was, for anyone who hadn't seen it, is I talked about the mnemonic device, never eat shredded wheat, to memorise the points of the compass.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a poem that I came up with called How I Memorised a 16-Point Compass, which is me going, never, never, never eat, never eat, eat, never eat, 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 shredded, eat, shredded, eat, shredded, shredded, eat, shredded, 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 wheat, shredded, wheat, wheat, shredded, wheat, 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 never, wheat, never, wheat, never, never, wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time I was doing that, I did that for about 4 weeks, that routine, and it never got less than a good reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, yeah, that's going to be my kind of...
signature piece.
Yeah, my signature thing, the thing I'm going to end all my sets with. You know.
Your party trick.
Yeah, exactly. And it was four solid weeks, including 1 week where I did 11 gigs.
Right.
Which is, at that time, the most I'd ever done
in
1 week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of instances of that routine being the highlight of an otherwise like aimless set.
Mm.
Anyway, it was actually the day after you saw me do that that this happened. I was on my way to watch an Edinburgh preview when I got a text from a friend of mine saying the bloke from Cavendish Arms has said that he saw Bill Bailey, his show recently, and he's doing the exact same routine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was kind of like...
this was about a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was over a year ago. Mm. And I was like, fuck, it wasn't a good day.
No.
Because I'd already... the cat I was living with at the time had already been put down.
Oh.
Like, as a result of mouth cancer.
I see.
So I wasn't feeling great.
No.
That day. And I thought, I just want to watch an Edinburgh preview and just kind of like, you know, cheer myself up a bit.
Yeah.
The last thing I need to hear is the best bit of material I've ever come up with is now no longer usable.
Mm.
Right, so I diverted. I went, instead of going to the Edinburgh preview, which is going to be in King's Cross, I went to the Cavendish Arms. I was like, this needs to be sorted out now.
Right.
So I spoke to another guy called Ian. It seems like most of my anecdotes feature people called Ian.
I think you're just talking to yourself.
I know. You may be right here, but like, that would be a great reveal. Like, it would be a kind of like...
You don't actually know any other people.
Yeah, it would be like that film, The Machinist.
Mm.
I would say like Fight Club or something, but I feel like I would be the shitter version.
You're not skinny enough to be in that movie.
No, I'm not. Mm. What, Fight Club or Machinist?
Either one.
Okay. I'm definitely not. I know I'm not skinny enough to be in The Machinist, but it's not a great film.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, that's true.
Yeah.
Because the main reason to watch it is to see skinny Christian Bale.
Skinny Christian Bale, yeah.
Exactly. Well, once you've seen that in the first 2 minutes, turn it off.
It's heinous.
Just Google it. Google image.
Yeah. Exactly.
Save an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Indeed. But I actually studied it for an exam at uni.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. I did for an exam. I compared the how memory forms identity in Memento and The Machinist.
Right.
And the main conclusion I came up with is Memento is a much better film.
Yes. Well, no, good conclusion. Yeah. Fair enough.
That was most of what I learned.
Who could possibly argue with that thesis?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Anyway, so yeah, I went to the Cavendish Arms and spoke to Ian behind the bar. And so just got images now of me like running back and forth behind the bar and in front of it having this conversation. But I said to him, right, I heard that you saw Bill Bailey do this, my bit.
Okay, also, just imagine you kicking the door open. Like, Ian!
Yeah.
What's this I hear about Bill Bailey?
Exactly.
Mm.
And, he told me, he said that, like, he'd seen it, it was on, he did it on, like, a screen, as opposed to a pad, which I had, because obviously I don't have the voluptuous budget.
It was trumping you already,
for his shows. Mm. I said, was it really exactly the same? And he said there was about 10% difference in it.
Right.
In the routines.
That's specific.
Yeah. And it was just not what I needed to hear. So I went outside and I phoned up my girlfriend. And I said, this has happened, right?
Mm.
And she said, oh, no. And I said, can you look up... can you look up some contact details for Bill Bailey? Because one thing I wanted to check was whether he'd come up with it first or I had.
Right.
That was all that mattered to me at that point.
Mm.
Right. And so she looked online.
Did you imagine that if you could establish that he had come up with it after you, that you could go, Bill Bailey, stop it?
There was a part of me that felt like if I could sort
you could
of
fight
prove,
for this.
Because I did have video evidence. I upload all my sets to YouTube.
All of them?
All of them, but I upload them unlisted.
Right.
So basically, it's basically just so that they are time-coded on a kind of, like...
That is paranoia.
It is, yeah.
The thing is, no one would ever want to steal my material, so I'm sort of, I suppose I'm safe.
No, I mean, that is the thing I have as well. I find that generally most of my routines are so aloof and rarefied that actually no one really wants to kind of...
Same with me. No one would want to be as depressing as I am.
Charles Babbage had that thing where apparently when he made the difference engine, he deliberately put mistakes in the blueprints for it. That's kind of how I write my material.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just make sure there's no way.
No, that's too funny. That's too funny. Someone will steal that.
Yeah. So
let's reduce it by 10%.
Let's make the wording 50% more clunky.
Yeah.
So okay. They can't actually see the joke.
Yeah.
Like, no one will laugh, but it won't get nicked.
No, that's true.
I was on the phone to my girlfriend, and she was looking up Bill Bailey's website for contact details. And while she was looking it up, she found a canvas bag being sold on Bill Bailey's website with the... Never, never, never eat, never eat, eat compass on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And that was too much.
Yeah.
For me. It's not necessarily the fact that I felt, because in the long run, it is kind of a petty thing, I guess, to kind of be that worried about one routine you can't use up. But just in terms of the mindset I was in, I just got really kind of clogged up and couldn't think straight anymore.
Mm.
I was just like, right, that's it. I'm out of here. Right. So I went home after kind of like rather abruptly ending the call with my girlfriend and sort of grabbed the sharpest knife I could find from the kitchen because I wasn't going to do the anodyne shit again.
Like, yeah, you'd learn.
Yeah.
Fool me once, shame on me.
Exactly. And all the ones I had were caffeine again, so I just...
I got that saying wrong as well, but hopefully you didn't notice.
Everyone else did, so... But, yeah. So I grabbed a sharp knife. I say sharp, it was pathetic.
Right.
It's like, it would have had more luck stabbing myself with a ladle.
It was plastic.
Basically. It wasn't plastic, no, it was metal, but it was kind of like, you know... it's supposed to be for cutting stuff, but I just kind of lay on the floor in my room with this knife, thinking.
It's interesting.
Think
of the possibilities.
Shall I?
Yeah.
I deactivate my Facebook as well, just to make it extra dramatic.
Jesus.
It feels like I'm fetishizing the whole suicide.
No, but you do, don't you? If you've got a certain, I'm sort of fascinated by the idea of suicide. I think about suicide quite often.
Mm.
Almost as a... Mark Maron's got a nice bit of material I wish I'd written about how every now and again he thinks of suicide and it's not depressing, it's more like, there's always suicide. All of this is optional, you know.
Mm.
But I think you do kind of, you do fetishise it a little bit. You think, what statement am I going to make here? And think of all those people concerned about me. Mm.
That's the thing. I mean, that is actually what stops me,
right?
Weirdly enough, is the fact that I think by this point I realise that enough people care enough that I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, it'd be a dick
move. I feel it's really inconsiderate that they do.
Mm.
Like, I'd rather they didn't. It would be much easier.
Yes.
But that they do, I just kind of feel like, well, that's... All right, better not.
Mm.
Better not, or I'll be off the Christmas card list. So I was lying there on the floor, and then eventually the police came in. Or an ambulance. Some emergency services. Might be the ambulance. Maybe a hybrid. Especially, I can't really remember it too clearly because I was kind of in a bit of a frenzy on the floor. Mm. I wasn't answering my phone call, so my girlfriend had kind of sensed
something was,
it was a bit wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we
canvas bag sent him over the edge.
Yeah. So I got lumbered into the ambulance.
Had you made any incisions?
No, none at all.
Okay.
None at all. It was
sounds like the ambulance is a bit of overkill then.
It was, but I had to be handcuffed in the end because I just started trying to headbutt every hard surface I could.
Right.
Just to try and knock myself out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that genuinely did feel like the best
sort
of thing.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
To do at that point. It's just like, right, look, I can't do this with a knife. Let's just at least try and give myself brain damage or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just want something to happen.
Mm. Oh, I can relate to that. Don't want to be conscious anymore.
Yeah, that's why I ended up in the ambulance, I think. Right. Because maybe they felt I was mentally slightly unstable by that point.
Did you get a section?
I did end up in a ward, a assessment ward in Lambeth.
Right.
At that point. And what actually kind of made me sort of buck up my ideas a bit was that ward, because it was about as depressing as, like, the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest kind of stuff.
Okay.
That I see. Because I like that, you know, good film.
Yeah.
I think. But you don't look at that and think, oh, I want to be those guys.
No.
Even Jack, you know, as cool as he is.
No, it's not aspirational.
No, exactly. Mm. And that was it. It's just like, you know, looking at that and thinking, oh, having to eat this kind of food and, like, you know, sit in this kind of room and all the kind of
stuff. I've probably got one more attempt before I end up here permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I just thought, no. Mm-hmm. So I went in the kind of assessment interview that they had for it and deliberately aced it, like, because I just kind of thought...
Because you knew the answers that they'd want.
I kind of knew, I thought, I knew what I need to say in order for people to kind of be reassured. Because I think with medical services these days, and this is kind of why I don't trust them, actually, going back to the original point, is that I think there's an aspect of them just wanting to hear certain things.
Right.
Like, to be assured that you're going to be all right.
Yeah, so no one can accuse them of negligence.
Yeah, they can't diagnose beyond what you tell them. And I that's why, you know, I wish they were magic, and they could.
Mm.
Like, because I just feel like I can only say what I sort of feel obliged to say at that point. I can't necessarily describe this in the detail required for you to decide that I'm this or that or the other. I'm just not very good at it in that situation. But... And it's like, you know, I remember one of the things that really annoyed me was I had some sort of counselling related to one of these attempts or something like that. And they said, do you hear voices?
Mm.
And I think that is such a stupid question to ask.
Well, they mean in your head.
Yeah, I know. I don't mean, obviously she's talking to me right now. Mm. Like, no, I mean, as far as diagnosis goes, that is pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if the voices tell you to say no?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's... what you say is not necessarily the same as what is happening in there.
No, true.
Like, and so I just felt, this is so ineffectual. I'm never going to learn anything from this.
Well, it's like when I went to a doctor once, and I said, I feel a bit sad.
Yeah.
And he gave me a quiz, the depression quiz.
Yeah.
And he told me that I am 24 out of 27 depressed.
Right.
Completely meaningless.
What happened off the back of that? Did you...
I ended up with antidepressants.
Right.
But, yeah, that's all it took. I mean, I said, I've gone to counselling before.
Yeah.
And I don't think it works.
Mm.
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Basically, because the last time I saw a counsellor was at university, and her solution for my long-term depression was revision tips. She said, have you tried mind mapping? Because she decided that mainly my anxiety was that I thought I wasn't going to do well in my course, which it wasn't.
Oh, okay. So she thought your anxiety was bespoke.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And that really all I needed was a few cue cards and a few memory aids.
Yeah.
And a few acronyms. So instead, I did kind of what you did, which is I thought, this isn't going to work. I'll just say, yeah, that's all better now. Thanks.
Yeah.
You've really sorted me out. And I went just as bad as I ever was.
You just get infuriated about it, I find. After a while, you just be like, I can't be bothered.
It is quite nice to talk about yourself for an hour and have someone who's paid to listen to you. But I hate the idea of telling someone my deepest, darkest problems and to be like the one thing kind of before their lunch break, thinking, what Pret sandwich am I going to have? You know, this guy stop whinging for a second and I'll go off and...
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, so that's why I don't really trust doctors.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, I think it's expanded far beyond doctors and pretty much says any medical person whatsoever. But yeah, so that was that. I was thoroughly unpleasant at the in the ambulance, as I recall.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
I remember now. It was because I just started laying into the ambulance guy because it was some question. Oh, that's it. He asked me how old I was. No, he asked me what my date of birth was, and I told him my date of birth, and then he asked me how old I was.
You said, do the maths, bitch.
It was more or less. Like, and I just... it wasn't as pithy as that, actually. It was far more...
rarefied.
It was a rant.
Right.
It was a full-on rant about, like, just how useless they were. The fact that they had to ask how old I was, even though I'd just given them.
The standard of mathematical comprehension in the NHS is absolutely despicable.
It was. Well, there was a bit more doubt in there. I kind of...
Might be despicable.
Yeah. Mm. I sort of, every now and then, throw it in. Like, I know this is, like, me going off on one, but... So I tried to temper it, but I could see the ambulance guy was just thinking, like, this is not the night I wanted to do a shift.
No.
You know, I also... Sort of slightly proud thing I have from this, and again this is slight fetishization, but I actually managed to get away on a legal basis with kicking a policeman in the leg.
Oh
yeah.
On what legal basis did you get away with it?
In the rather than getting locked up,
impaired judgment,
he just gave me a dead leg.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was, what was great, it was alarmingly efficient, his dead leg. There was no mark on my leg whatsoever.
Okay.
But it fucking caned for like 4 days. It's almost as if he'd been trained.
Why did you kick him?
I was still doing the headbutting thing.
Right.
Like, I was still, like, every officer, they had two coppers there who were basically kind of minding me at pretty much all times, because they knew that whenever they let go of me, I was going to just start trying to brain myself.
Doing the old goat routine.
Yeah, basically. The woodpecker, as I believe they don't call it. And, So at one point, I think I was actually just... I started physically struggling, like, and to try and catch the policeman off guard, I did kick him in the leg, like, and he responded by giving me the dead leg, and then they both sat on top of me, like, so that I couldn't even squirm.
Right.
And then they just sat there playing Words with Friends on their, on their smartphones.
Is that an embellishment, or is that real?
No, that is true. That genuinely happened.
The app? Down to the app?
Yeah. Using. Yeah, no, yeah, my girlfriend told me.
Interesting.
Yeah, she was there. She saw.
She was observing.
Sorry mess. Yeah. She's kind of the reason I sort of can't bring myself to do it again, you know, because...
You're still with her to this day?
Yes, I am, amazingly,
wow.
Considering the what happened. Mm. But, yeah, I don't think I could put her through that again.
No, you know? Fair enough.
Sorry.
Let's hope the relationship doesn't end.
Yeah. Comedy podcast. I wanted to be a DJ at one point. I think part of me does.
Okay.
Because I've got, like, the turntables and CDs.
Really
and
now?
Yeah. It's not that exciting.
Don't come across as a DJ.
Do I not? No. What do DJs come across as?
Well, a bit more douchey, generally.
Oh, okay. Well, I sort of take that as a compliment.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I'm broadly generalising about something that you're interested in and want to do with your life, but the fact that you're atypical is also a compliment, I suppose.
You mean douchey as in douchebag, right?
Douchebaggerish.
The last time someone called me a douchebag was when I poured pebbles over them at a beach in Portsmouth.
That is quite a douchebaggy thing to do.
Yeah, but they were being quite rapey, so it felt like... It felt like a douchey.
How were they being rapey?
They were all like college level kids, right? One of my lowest ebbs.
Okay.
Right, because I know this is what you want to hear about.
Delicious, yes.
Like, I worked at W.H. Smith.
Right.
That was better than Next, I should stress, for a while. Okay, yeah. But the list of charges is adding up, you are right.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with this girl there who was in college at the time. And I quite liked her. So once we left W.H. Smith's and I came back to Portsmouth after my MA, I said, could we meet up at some point?
Bit rapey.
Well, no, it's not. Because I didn't say...
No, but if you say it on stage, you know, people will laugh. I'm just saying that. That's a tip.
Oh, okay.
Stop you from being so...
Hang on, let me write that down.
Stop being so bloody rarefied.
Bit rapey.
Okay, so what happened?
She said, yeah, come along to this, because it's a celebration. I'm going off to uni, right? So I went along to it. It was at a pub in Portsmouth called the Fat Fox.
Hang on. It just seems like there's quite a large age gap between you two.
I'm trying to think. At the time, it wasn't stupid. It wasn't... Well, okay. We're getting into yew tree territory here. But she was 18. Right.
And you were?
19, 20... Was it 2009? I am... How old am I now? I'm 28. 23.
Okay.
23. So if you... I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing happened.
I'm not saying anything.
This speaks for itself.
Let the audience decide.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're going to be banging on my door.
Okay, so you were preying on this young girl. And what happened next?
You might. All right, we'll say it was praying. Mm. Right, you know, praying I didn't get caught. And what was it? So I came along to this leaving do, and there was a lot of people our age there. Basically, I was the kind of the old one.
Right.
There, even though I was like 20, 23, 24, something
right,
like that.
Who invited Grandpa?
Exactly, yeah. Well, they made me feel proper old, actually, because they just started suddenly...
Jesus.
See, already, like, you know...
They've heard.
2 minutes.
They've
and
heard about your your advances.
They're like, we've got one in Mitchum, a live one.
Yeah. They're right on it since Rolf.
They can blame him. Now, they start spitting at each other, right?
Oh.
Okay, but they're all laughing about it, right? It actually seemed like a form of communication, right? They're just spitting back and forth at each other, like these young lads and this girl, right? And I was just amazed at this. Like, and I said to the girl, when do I get to join in with this? And one of the guys' spit landed on my leg.
Oh.
And she said, now.
Right, okay.
So, I went up, you know, like...
Getting some...
Yeah, got some ammo, let rip.
Okay.
Onto him. And he said, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, but hang on, you were just all spitting at each other. And we're like, mate, we were spitting ice cubes.
Oh.
Which, in my sort of slightly tipsy... kind of state, I didn't quite realise it. It was quite fluid, the way that it was going back and forth. Now that I think about it, you know, it was...
Faux pas.
Yeah, there was a projectile involved, which I did not use. Mine was more scattershot, like a blunderbuss.
Yeah.
And and it was... Yeah, and I was like... But you were all spitting at each other. The mate was spitting ice cubes. And it just went back and forth. And these two bookends, these two lads who were with him as well, just kind of got in on it as well, right? And they were kind of really pressuring me about this. And there was a kind of awkward pause. And one of them said, well, are you going to apologise to him? I was like, well, yeah, all right, I'm sorry.
Mm.
But already, right, hit it off on a bad kind
of... It didn't
of,
sound like you meant it either.
That wasn't an accurate...
Okay.
Transfiction.
A bit more grovelly.
I know I did drama at uni, but like acting was not one of my strong points. Like, I just
telling the people how to act. That's what
wrote essays.
Right.
Like, you know, that was the only thing I was good at.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you know, the night went on. We went to another pub. Like, so we smoothed out a little bit. Like, or rather, we just stopped talking to each other.
Moved
for a bit.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. We went to another pub as part of this pub crawl, and I apologised and bought the lad a drink. Like, you know, just trying to move it over.
Oh.
Anyway, then, after that pub, they got into this car, like three of them and this girl, right? Something slightly uneasy to me about this. I didn't know what it was, but I decided to get into the car as well, right? And they drove to the beach at Portsmouth, and they all got out. They all sort of tightened around a bit. And I'm trying to remember what they were doing now. They were all... I think they were chucking pebbles on her or something like that.
Okay.
They were all sort of jumping on her and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And they kept saying things out loud, like, kind of like, anyone watching this is going to think this is a rape or something like that.
Right. Right.
And I just felt...
Just banter.
I know, well, it was. I mean, it clearly, already, you know, they'd been spitting. I think, like, rape chat was kind of like the next...
Half of the course,
stage along, right? And I just felt so uncomfortable about this, and... Because it almost felt like it could happen.
Okay.
Now, in hindsight, I know it wouldn't. Or at least I hope it wouldn't have done. But it felt like it was going to. Right, so, in a moment of kind of like... Slightly resigned, kind of... I don't really know what to do here, but I want to express my disdain for it. I got a shirtload of pebbles and dropped them on one of the lad's head whilst he was sitting down.
Jesus.
Right.
Could have crushed him.
They were tiny pebbles.
Okay.
Yeah. And
enough of those tiny pebbles, though.
Tiny pebbles. They weren't rocks.
Sounds like he had a tiny brain, so it wouldn't take much to
And he
crush.
Said, what'd you do that for? And like a hero...
Fair enough question.
Yeah, it was. And like a hero, I said...
to prevent a rape?
No, I said, I don't know.
Oh.
That was my line of action. That is what I stuck with.
Okay.
That was the alibi I went with, and he just called me a douchebag.
Right.
And I couldn't take him seriously after that because I just thought, come on, mate. Like, you know, I'm pretty much putting a damper on your night and you just call me a douchebag. Is that all you can do? Can you just, like, lamp me one or something like that? Make this whole trip worthwhile. But, yeah, so that's that. That was last time I got called a douchebag.
But the girl, presumably, didn't go on to become sexually assaulted.
No, we all got back in the car. They gave me a lift as well.
Oh.
I know, they...
I think they're the good guys in this story, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's why I told it, because I knew you'd like any story I had where I looked like a prick, and I've got many, so...
Okay, what's the next one?
I don't know, it will come naturally, I can't force them. Like...
Well, Ian, we're running out of time a little bit, so what I'm going to do is enter somewhat of a sort of quickfire round so that we get through the rest of your choices.
Mm-hmm.
Pictograms, go.
Fire exit man, love him.
What?
Well, you said it was going to be rapid fire and quick fire. Pictograms. Yeah, pictograms. Just fire exit man.
What is a... What?
Pictogram.
What is a pictogram? A
pictogram is a...
you can't just say pictogram over and over and expect that I'm going to catch up.
Pictogram. There's pictograms about...
What is a pictogram?
It's a graphic representation, and I mean as in drawing rather than explicit, of a thing.
Okay.
Fire exit.
So it's a drawing.
Yeah, it's kind of a drawing, but it's a specific kind of drawing, like Fire Exit Man.
You can't just keep saying Fire Exit Man.
It's pictograms.
I'm not... What are you talking about?
When I was a kid...
Mm.
Right, I'll go on to the Fire Exit Man in a bit, because I can see that is clearly beyond your level of comprehension.
I'm troubled by that, yeah.
No, when I was a kid, right, I used to draw car dashboards...
I thought you were going to say Kardashians for
Kardashians.
A second.
Kardashians. I was psychic. I predicted...
the rise of the Kardashians.
The rise of big bottoms celebrities with no value.
You could have warned us all.
Yeah. Mm. No, I could have, but I decided to just put them on the fridge.
Mm. Okay.
That's where
you were, drawing the Kardashboards.
Car dashboards. Yeah.
Why?
Because I just like the symbols. I love the out of petrol symbol, the full beam, the left and right things. That was what I really liked. The actual speedometer and stuff, the dials weren't so interesting.
Too specific.
Well, because it's numbers and a dial, and I don't feel like that represents much.
Right.
It represents the speed of the car. Yeah. But imagination wise, it didn't really. Take off, but you know all the other little symbols and that. I really like those.
Right. Okay.
And, you rarely get to see them actually when you're in a car.
What was your favourite one? I know it's a difficult
I think
one.
I like full beam because it was blue, and which was at odds with the other colours that they tended to have. But and also it's very rarely used.
Tricksy little devil.
I know.
Mm.
but you wouldn't use it because it's quite cunty to use full beam in a car, isn't it? Like, you know, you end up blinding
so
people
it's sort
coming.
Of the, sort of the danger. It's kind of seductive to you.
Yeah, so that's maybe that was it. It's kind of, kind of Anthony Hopkins.
Mm. Okay, so a pictogram... is those little symbols that tell you how to dry clean something, for example.
I think they're kind of pictogram-esque, I think. There's possibly a few too many letters and numbers in them for them to be pure pictograms.
Oh, so you're a pictogram purist?
Pictogram purists, where possible,
Okay, so explain Fire Exit Man.
Fire Exit Man. You mean you must have seen the fire exit signs.
Yeah, the guy dashing through a door.
Man running.
And that's your favourite one?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know what it is about that. I think it's... because it's so incongruous in terms of fire safety protocol in schools, I found.
Just dash through a door.
The teachers always used to say, walk calmly in single file to the exit, like when there's a fire drill. And yet every single sign you've got is of an individual man running.
Which is more realistic, the blind panic.
Yeah, exactly.
Every man for himself.
Exactly, yeah. And I always, there's something about that contradiction that's kind of stuck with me. Because I'm sort of a visual learner.
Right.
I found, I tend to remember images more than words. Mm-hmm. Like, if people say words to me, I kind of tune out.
Well.
So, which may have happened a couple of times.
Luckily, I've had a series of pictograms to convey my question.
It feels like the world is better in that format.
Okay.
You know? There's a story about that, actually. I had to once try and help a blind man buy a greeting card at WH Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is, thank God he didn't have a sense of humour. and that I didn't have to read out the jokes on the cards to him.
Did you use it as an opportunity to fuck his life up?
No, I got him...
Hideously inappropriate card.
I got him something quite bland, I think. I just said, this has got a picture of a bird on it.
Right.
And he was like, oh, bird's quite nice.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And I meant, you know, in the ornithology.
So he'd gone blind. He'd seen a bird before.
Maybe he felt the outline of one.
Doesn't know what a bird could be hideous for all he knows.
It could be. I don't know. Yeah, well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it in that much detail.
You should have interrogated him further.
You might have been partially sighted.
I'll tell you what my beef with greeting cards is.
Go on.
On Father's Day, if you so happen to have a dad who's a recovering alcoholic who doesn't play golf... you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's all like, get yourself a pint of this. Mm. Oh, have a round of golf. Why not?
Yeah. Well, my dad died years ago, so I don't even have to worry about that.
Well, you are, you know, in a privileged position.
Quite smug about it, yeah.
Every year, like, yes.
Yeah.
Suckers. I've got one word for you.
I greet you.
Moon pig.
No.
Moon pig.
I don't know. I'm not keen on doing it online. I don't know
moon
why.
Moon pig.
Yeah, I heard it. Pictograms.
Mm.
Fire exit man. We can all do the one word thing. Like
moon pig.
You're impressed. Fire exit.
You can customize and you can say what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I don't. Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know why. I just feel like it's cheating.
Why don't you make your own card?
I feel like it's cheating.
That's what people say. I hate it when people say that to me.
I know.
I know why. Because I don't love the person enough to put that effort in, all right? Back off.
That is. It's such a tacky kind of enterprise, all of it, I find. And it's... what I always find card buying really difficult because I kind of want something that represents, in a pictogram form, how I feel about that person.
Right.
I just want an image that sums it up, or a statement... not necessarily a joke, you know. I don't want Jeff from the Odd Squad talking about turds or whatever. I mean, that was all right when I was a kid. You know, I did quite, you know, I had a few Odd Squad cards, like for birthdays and stuff like that. And yeah, it's hilarious when you're a kid and like poo and wee and stuff.
Of course.
Like, classic. You know, saggy tits are hilarious. But you just don't want to always do that.
I think the worst ones are the ones that have sentiment in them.
That's the problem.
Because it's always mawkish and overblown, and
it's a middle ground I want. Like, I don't want the mawkish sentimentality, but I don't want the gross out humour either. And there's very little between those two poles. I think it was my mum's last birthday, right? You know, I went into Paper Chase and I was just looking, and there's nice cards in there, but I was just thinking, right, what can I get for my mum specifically? What can I get that summarises the way I feel about her? In the end, I just bought a random selection of cards, and the one I chose to give to her was a mouse sniffing 3 strawberries.
Okay. How did that go down?
Well, it was fine, but I was just... it's that kind of like thing. It's almost like a Schrodinger's cat thing. I put it in the card, sealed it up. That was the card. I put the card in the envelope, sealed it up. And then I just started thinking about it. I just started overthinking it. I was just kind of like, a mouse sniffing 3 strawberries.
What does that say?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Why am I giving this to my mother? Like, you know, she doesn't
like mice,
as far as I know. And she's all right with strawberries. Like, so there's 3 strawberries and 1 mouse. That outweighs it. But then maybe the mouse would ruin the notion of the strawberries.
I think if you were to look at that card and you'd say one word about what this depicts, it wouldn't be strawberries, it'd be mouse, surely.
It'd probably be mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're on a purple background. Mm-hmm. And it's just...
oh, sounds lovely.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's a really nice picture, but you just look at that, we just think about it afterwards and you're just kind of like, what? So then, you know, the onus is entirely on the message that you write in the card.
Yes.
And I'm not great at those.
My love for you is like a mouse... sniffing three strawberries.
Sort of. Well, I gave... Here's the thing. Another reason I struggle is because at work, where I work at the moment, it seems like mostly my job is signing greeting cards.
Right.
Like, in the office that we work in, greeting cards just almost every day.
Mm.
Like, you know, there's one being passed around for something, like, you know, birthdays. Like.
Leave sarcastic messages, that's the answer. That's what I do.
I don't... Is it?
Yeah.
Where do you work again?
Well, I've only been working in the place I work now 4 days, so I haven't been around for any birthdays, but used to work at Great Ormond Street.
Okay.
And whenever a card went round, it was invariably for someone I'd barely met or didn't really know.
Mm.
It's sort of rude to go, oh, I don't care about that person, so I won't write in there. So I'll just sort of say, I will cherish our time together forever, or I'll just be really, really over the top.
Yeah.
Say, we have touched each other's lives in ways that neither of us will ever recover from, and I know you'll always be in my heart, that kind of thing.
Did that ever come back?
No.
Wow.
No. But I like to think that it put a little dampener on the card for each and every one. And it happened. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Oh.
Yeah.
It's really cut me to the core.
It's weird. I don't know. I can't bring myself to do that. I think it's because I mean, where I work at the moment is... That's kind of a party line sort of place.
Right.
In the sense that, like, you know, there's a lot of enforced jollity that happens. People celebrate things by dressing up as Smurfs or wearing mankinis.
Yeah.
So, like, that is basically, like, you know, that's not like by a functioning coffee machine or anything. Now we've got a million customers. No, let's flog them, you know, spend the money on stupid costumes and that. I almost got in trouble with that recently because I felt like it. It was a storm in a teacup.
Right.
The company I work for, let's just say they reached 1 million paying customers.
Right.
By this point. And they decided to celebrate in an incredibly lavish manner, which is by... Firstly, they got catering for everyone for the day, which would have been quite nice, but it was bacon and egg wraps and all this kind of stuff.
Perfect.
I don't really... No, look, don't eat that.
Oh.
Right. Also, I just don't... Like, buffet, kind of communal food and that, I just don't get on with.
Right.
Like, when it's all around... It's not even a fingerprints thing. It's just kind of like... I sort of prefer... I think I just prefer food when it comes in a box.
Right.
Okay. You know, or when it's got some instructions on the side or something.
Surely they would have put it in a box for you if you'd asked.
No, I didn't have any boxes. But it wasn't food that I... It wasn't food that I liked or trusted anyway. But that is just me being a... petty prick. Like,
yeah.
So that's neither here nor there.
Mm.
What was the worst thing was they decided to print T-shirts with Dr. Evil's face on it,
Good
saying
start.
1 million customers and counting.
I think it's
Dr. Evil.
I don't get the reference.
No, I don't really get it.
Mike Myers.
Yeah, but I never watched Austin Powers or anything.
Right.
I thought it was Dr. Evil. I could be wrong, but it's some famous thing that everyone knew, and I wasn't really that au fait with.
Okay,
and they went around handing these T-shirts. Now, my feeling is if someone hands me an object and I'm not going to get any longevity out of that object, then I don't want that object.
Right, yeah.
Right, and that is not a T-shirt I'm ever going to wear, even in the office.
Mm.
It was on a white background as well. I don't do well with, like,
I see, yeah,
things on white backgrounds.
Mm.
Just that. So the woman came around, the marketing lady came around with the shirts in a trolley, and she handed me one, or she was going to hand me one, and I said... No, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think that's fairly polite. It's direct.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I didn't want to go into all my neuroses about it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, no, I just...
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good.
I already have a shirt.
And she was, yes, I'm wearing one.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone else was as well, to be fair. It wasn't a naked office. So the shirts would have been...
Necessary, yeah.
Necessary, yeah. But she was like, no, I'll just leave it with you anyway. Like, I think...
And that's when you kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
You said no means no.
I threw the T-shirt back at her.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ian?
I know, but my back was turned at the time. All right. Now, well, I should stress, like, when...
Was this good-natured joshing, or was this...
It was supposed to be... No, when I say throw it at her, it was
wasn't
more...
Wasn't assault?
No, it was more... Like, if it was a fairground, imagine more hoop toss than coconut shy.
Right.
Basically. So kind of like... I was trying to make it land on her.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, trying to take her head off.
I see.
But she turned around and she said, That's mean and fucking rude, and I'm going to report you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And did she?
No.
Oh.
Or if she did, it never amounted to
anything.
What
did you say?
She just walked off at that point. I didn't really kind of...
You should have said, I think it's pretty fucking rude for you to push your fucking horrible T-shirt on me when I clearly said no.
That was sort of what I was thinking, yeah. Mm. But, I mean, you don't... I kind of need this job. Yeah. Well, I don't... at the moment, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we cut that bit out?
How do you feel? We've come to the end.
I don't know.
Any sense of catharsis? Personal growth?
Not really.
So it's been...
I was aiming for it.
A complete waste of time.
It hasn't been a complete waste of time.
Mm.
But I don't know, I feel you are the privileged one here because you have the recording.
Well, of course, yeah. The whole thing's been set up to privilege me.
And then all I will have afterwards is the edited version.
Absolutely. And I mean, I started this podcast in a state of, you know, powerlessness. I felt like I didn't really have any way of controlling, you know, things on the circuit. I wasn't gigging all that much. But now I feel like I've got this little thing that I can hold over an increased number of comedians and, you know.
Well, the good thing is I don't think you've sabotaged my comedy career any more than I have already.
Mm.
The bad news is I think you have sabotaged my friends and family life.
Perfect.
Quite massively.
Mm.
And what might be good about that is if I can shake all them off, maybe I'll focus almost entirely on the comedy and will become much better.
Oh, it'll backfire on me.
Maybe. That is the best outcome I can hope for.
You will be at least 50% more miserable, though. So I can at least take that home.
But one would hope that misery will convert into...
hilarity.
At least a kind of niche success.
Hmm.
Yeah. Quite kitchen, but maybe...
I think any success that you're likely to have is going to be niche, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Unless you take my advice that I gave you earlier.
Primark, wanking, and bit rapey.
Mm-hmm.
I actually added the bit rapey part myself.
That's actually on my note.
Was it?
You're crediting yourself with something.
I don't think that is. I think.
I can show you the note.
If we. Really?
We're going to have a Bill Bailey esque squabble.
We never did say how that ended.
Oh shit, no. Go on then.
Yeah. Where it turned out he came up with it first.
Oh. That's sort of dispiriting for you. There's no vindication.
Yeah.
Probably best left out.
Maybe. But it was fine. Publicist said to me, you should see this as a positive. You should maybe try and write a show about that you came up with this routine that was the same as a Bill Bailey one and all the stuff that had happened beyond it. I didn't really tell her about the suicide attempt after that, so
no.
I mean, that is all the makings of an Edinburgh show.
Absolutely, yeah.
By the way, I just want to say, you probably won't notice at home, but this is actually the first time me and Ollie have met.
That's true.
Yeah. We've been on the same bills with each other, but we just kind of do that thing where you
exchanged a nod, yeah.
You look across the room and just think, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I'm quite an intimidating figure, I think.
I don't.
Generally, so I'm not surprised.
Oh, no, I did get that impression.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did get the impression that, like, you would judge... Yeah.
He's dangerous.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's nice to meet you and realise you are exactly how I expected you to be.
Obnoxious and cruel.
Yeah.
Mm.
But no, I think that's...
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. I think those are your good points. Mm. In fact, I'm sure other people in other podcasts have said that.
Yeah.
Didn't Candy say that?
Yeah.
Then this is just going to be... This podcast is going to be a series of affirmations for you. Just keep being nasty.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other... I thought not enough people know that I'm an arsehole. Mm. So what better way to set up a podcast and broadcast it solely to the circuit?
I'm never doing a podcast. I feel like I should earn the right to be called an arsehole.
Yeah. No, not
by
me.
By going to
taking
places.
A shortcut.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming.
No worries.
Thanks for making the trip. It was fun.
Thanks for having me. Mitch him out.
Thank you for listening to episode 10 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme with Ian Lane. I really enjoyed recording it and getting to know Ian and meeting him for the first time, and I think it warranted the extra running length. So, shut up, yeah, comedy podcast purists that I have imagined. As always, please do visit the iTunes page and leave us a rating or a review, or simply tell a friend that you have enjoyed the show and they should check it out. I have no idea who the guest is going to be next week, but I hope the podcast will be on time and I get my podcast to work ratio sorted. But until then, I'll see you next week.
And then Tom Waits as well. We kind of bonded a little over that.
Hmm.
Tom Waits has been going for about, you know, 40 years or so.
Yeah.
But I kind of like his stuff sort of post Bone Machine.
Hmm. That kind of Cookie Monster delivery.
Was that Cookie Monster? Was that, is that the name of the sound? Like,
yeah, no, I think that's what he's going for.
Or is that supposed to be a kind of
that kind of thing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Hmm. It's a depressed Cookie Monster. Board games.
I don't.
They hold very little for me, unless I'm ruining it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, subverting the rules, or I'm trying to cheat quite blatantly, or I'm refusing to answer the questions or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, just don't invite me to a place where board games are ever going to happen.
I don't mind board games if there's some sort of skill and intelligence to them. If it's kind of like, you know, snakes and ladders and throwing dice,
yeah,
and shit. Then no,
always at a party at some point. Someone will be like, "Oh, let's play a board game." You think, "No, we're adults."
That's usually the sign that the party has failed, isn't it? Like, it's the kind of like the Godwin's law for board games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Board games are the to parties what Hitler is to internet discussion.
Yeah.